I never know how I'm supposed to feel today. We know how we'll feel tomorrow, and then how we'll feel the third day. We know how we'll feel then, how things will be tomorrow. We feel that confusion today. There's this anticipation to this day we call Maundy Thursday, a day in which the big story's climax is well underway, but the sense that this is the end for us, the last part which has any role for us to play. After this, we watch and we wait. We also aren't sure what to hang our hats on for this day. Is this about the call to service or to the building of community? Is this about the foot washing or the Last Supper? And running through these thoughts about where to hold onto a thread going into our blessed Triduum, we are reminded also of betrayal. Judas is there. He's in the room, eating with them, sharing with them, all the while preparing to tell the authorities where to find Jesus, to bring his master, the Messiah, into arrest and then execution. I'm always confused by what to latch on to every year. And what arrests my attention is that Judas is there, and Jesus knows about him. From Judas's vantage point, this is obvious. Like a spy or a double agent, his presence is expected. He's trying to infiltrate. Unexpected is that Jesus would commune with him anyway. Not just eat with him at any old table, but share this last moment with him as a disciple, equal to the others, with the love and mercy only Jesus can provide him. Now, if we've been following along in Matthew, and if you go back a few verses before the Maundy Thursday story there, you hear that the disciples did on Wednesday of Holy Week, the day before the Passover. It says, "Now while Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very costly ointment, and she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. But when the disciples saw it, they were angry and said, 'Why this waste? For this ointment could have been sold for a large sum and the money given to the poor.' But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, 'Why do you trouble the woman? She has performed a good service for me. For you always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. By pouring this ointment on my body, she has prepared me for burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever this good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her.'" We remember that it's only John's gospel that has the foot washing. And in that one, it is Mary, sister of Martha and Lazarus, who anoints Jesus with oil earlier. Here it is an unnamed woman, but the experience of the disciples is familiar, and the impulse is very familiar. What a waste, we think. Give the money to the poor, don't waste it this way. But do we really take seriously those words of Jesus's? "Truly, I tell you, wherever this good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her. Not in remembrance of me, but her. We are to remember her when we gather this way, when we proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, this unnamed woman wasting oil by anointing Jesus. She is the gospel according to Jesus. We have these two elements. We have Judas at the Passover meal and this woman anointing Jesus. To this, let's add one more, the Passover itself. We remember the Passover is the ultimate story of liberation for the Hebrew people. It's the way God freed the people from slavery in a dramatic expression of devotion to them. But it was also wedded to memory. God wanted them to remember the freeing act by remembering the community. In gathering each year in a day of holy observance, the family would gather around a table to tell the story and eat the food and remember what God did for them, but not as some hollow ritual which has no literal meaning in it. The sort of pure philosophical symbol making that has no material consequence. It is to physically connect us to one another, to restitch the quilt of community, to remember us. So we likewise gather to remember our own iteration of God's freeing mercy. Not in the Passover, but in another kind. One which starts before the Passover dinner many, many years ago. When a woman became the gospel and the betrayer ate as one of the included. A stitched together gathering of those who tradition and our nature would exclude. Stitching together, re-stitching together, remembering the community in a time of incredible mercy. We gather tonight to remember. As we do every Sunday, remembering the household of God, not as an exclusive group of the elect chosen by merit and ability, but in spite of it. We share at a table that is not ours by ownership, but ours in unity as the site of reconnection in a world ordered by violence and hatred. A table which serves as that point of reconnection where all are fed, all find mercy, all are loved, and call it home. This is the source of our freedom and restorer of mercy and community, where none is greater or lesser than any other. And true generosity is on display, not in acts of sacrificial devotion, but of mercy, of love. At this table, everyone is welcome, everyone is worthy, and all are restored. And I'm not sure we can understand the gravity of that until we experience it, until we are far from it, or prevented from participating in it, or if we only eat with friends we get along with, the people it's easy to stand or kneel next to. We all need to be remember. In a few minutes, we'll eat at that table together to remember as friends, but not all the same. As unique people with a common need to remember and be remembered. And before we do that, we will remember each other intimately by washing feet and being washed. It isn't required, of course, but it is a strange moment which invites us to set aside our fears, our sense of ickiness, our superiority, inviting us instead to let another person know us and serve us and remember us to community. Not just theoretically, but in reality. To prepare us for the days ahead, washed with mercy and love.